Friends, this morning I'm turning to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24, verses 24 to 27. Acts 24, verses 24 to 27. And after 13 days, when Philip came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And our title for this morning is The Danger in Taking Decisions Concerning Religious Matters. The Danger of Delay in Decisions About God, About Life. There is a danger if you keep hearing the gospel day in, day out, and still cannot commit your life to Christ. It is a danger. It's a disaster. We have said here often times that we were created to glorify God. And you can never glorify God in your sinful state. You must be born again. You must be regenerated. You must come to a point where you can glorify God. Otherwise, your whole life is a disaster. If you have lived for 20 years and you haven't come to know God, it's a 20 years of a wasted life. If it's for 40 years, it's 40 years of a wasted life. You must come. You must be born again. You must have a relationship with God. Then, that is a truthful life. And the Bible is clear about the way of salvation. Our state before God. How our hearts are before God. And then the way to come out of that situation. It is clear in the Bible. People must hear the gospel. That is why in our circles, the gospel is preached every Sunday. Every Sunday morning when we meet is the gospel. People must hear the gospel. They must hear before they can be saved. Romans chapter 10 from verse 13 to 14 says, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then 14 said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So the gospel is preached, you hear. And because of the warnings in the gospel, your heart must be pricked. You must tremble, as we are going to learn later. And then you turn to God for your salvation. The gospel will always be preached, but the issue is how you respond to it. It is your response that matters. It is not hearing the gospel or coming to church every day or serving God in whatever capacity. Your response to the gospel is what matters. Have you responded positively? Have you taken it serious that there's nothing serious in life than this and committed your life to Christ? This is the issue. That's what we are going to talk about today. And in this Acts chapter 24, verse 20 to 47. The whole of Acts 24 is like the transition period for the Apostle Paul from freedom to captivity. He started his work, he was preaching, and then all of a sudden he found himself in captivity. And before then, for several years, he has traveled throughout Judea, Syria, modern day Turkey, Macedonia, Greece, spreading the good news about Jesus and the offer of salvation. And then, through a series of misunderstandings and outright lies, he is now in custody. But we know that everything happened for the Christian for his good. We know that God allowed that to happen for some people to be saved. In the same way as Peter and his friends were in prison and the Philippian jailer was saved, Paul was also in this prison. And it was for a purpose. So here in Acts chapter 24, verse 24 to 27, we are going to talk about a terrible shaking, a trembling of this man called Felix. He was the governor of Judea at the time. And when he encountered Apostle Paul, the Bible says he trembled. Why did he tremble? We are going to learn. And who is this Felix man? Let's see a little background of Felix. Felix was born as a slave. He was a slave. But through his brother, who is called Pallas, who was also very influential in the court of Rome, it was through him that Felix was appointed as governor of Judea. And he was a very cruel ruler, very wicked man. And his name even brought terror to the people around. When we hear of Felix, it's like hearing of a very dangerous person. And with the help of Syrian troops, he crucified thousands of Jews and Gentiles. This is his background, a very wicked man. And this is the man Paul confronted at the time, which we are going to talk about very soon. And as we read in verse 25, he was also a thief. And he helped himself with the monies that from those that he crucified. People that he crucified, he took their money from them. And we read that he was even looking for money from Paul to free him. So we see the kind of person he is. He was also a greedy man. And someone who always practiced injustice. And like I said, took bribes from prisoners. As at the time that Paul met him, he had married three times. His third wife is this young lady called Drusilla. And that lady too, he took him away from her husband, who was a king. Promising of happiness and all kind of things that life can offer. To take the woman from the husband. But who is this wife too, Drusilla? He was also a Jewish lady. Normally, a Jewish woman will never come and marry a slave. But because of the power and the money and the influence of Felix, this lady also left her husband to come and marry him. Not only that, this lady was the daughter of Herod the First, the one who killed the apostle James in Acts chapter 12. And like Felix, he too had no principles in life. Even though he was a Jewish woman, he abandoned his Jewish principles and came to marry this man because of the luxury that he was promised. He was only 19 years when he came to marry this man. And as at the time he came to hear from Paul, she was only 19 years. And I'm sure as a Jewish lady, he had a lot of knowledge about the Christian religion. Because he was a Jewish man, he had heard a lot about the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I said, his father was the one who killed Apostle James by the sword. And his great uncle, the Herod Antipas, also had killed John the Baptist at the request of his wife. I'm sure you know of that story. So that is the background of this lady that we are talking about and her husband. And her great-grandfather, Herod the Great, also killed many innocent children of Bethlehem. And so you see, he killed so many people because of their belief in the way. So these two were godless people. They were people who always minded material things, how they can prosper in this life, and then lead a kind of pagan life. And that is how many of us were. That is how many of the people in the world today are, especially those in authority. We hear of scandals here and there. Sexual immorality here and there, or from people who are supposed to know better, people who lead us. And that is what this man was. His God was money. And I think that is what is happening nowadays now. Money. We have two gods, isn't it? We have the God of the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth, and then money. Life in this world, riches. So which one are you following? Which one are you taking? Are you taking the God, the creator, or money? In our days, it is terrible how people are chasing, even people who claim to be men of God. It is very sad to hear people when they are preaching. It's all about money. They can spend about 2 hours in church, and the actual preaching, which is not even the gospel, takes about 10 to 15 minutes. It's all about money. See, the word of God is now being sold. That is how come you hear of sowing seeds here and there. But we know seed is sown by God, not by man. The parable of the sower is clear. What was he sowing? Was he sowing money? And who was sowing it? Was it the church members? Or it was God who sowed the seed in them? So we live in a world that the true gospel is not being preached. But here we will see how God commanded him to preach the true gospel to this terrible king, a king that nobody could talk to. How many preachers in our days can go and talk to our people in authority that they are corrupt? They rather pamper them. They go to them and tell them sweet words. They will do this, they will do this. They prophesy to them. They never tell them about their sins. But Apostle Paul was not like that. He told the king about his sins, the danger that he was facing. And then he offered the way of salvation to them. So when Felix and the wife was calling Paul, they knew that Paul was innocent. They knew very well that Paul had not done anything wrong. But that, like I said in verse 25, because they wanted to take money of him, they put him inside. So let's see what Paul and Felix talked about. What was the gospel that was presented to Felix? And let's compare to the gospel that are being peddled in our days. First, he reasons concerning nature and obligation of righteousness. The state of man, like I said earlier on, our state before God, and how to come out of that, because we need to be righteous before we can have relationship with God. So he talked about the nature first. Tell the people, don't pamper them. Don't tell them you are the head and not the tail. Tell them who they are, that they are sinful people who need forgiveness from God. And then you offer. So he talked about the nature and obligations of righteousness. He also talked about temperance, which is justice. And then he also talked about the judgment to come. And then showing them that they need to repent for forgiveness, and also the grace that is available to them, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that if they want to repent, there is a way, that through the help of the Holy Spirit, they will be convicted of their sins, and then they will turn unto God. This is the gospel. When we talk about the gospel is the message that gives warning and hope. Not just hope. We have to give the warning for the people must understand their state for them to appreciate what Christ has done for them. If you don't know that, you don't accept that you are sick, do you need a physician? You don't go to a doctor and then say, oh, I'm well. Then why have you come? You even need the doctor to examine you, to diagnose you, and tell you what is your problem. And then he tells you and then gives you the medication. Then you take the medication serious. If he doesn't tell you what is wrong with you and the danger, the consequences, you wouldn't even take the medication. That is what it is with us. If you are not told the gospel, your state, and then the judgment to come, it will be difficult to appreciate what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. So he talked to them about judgment to come. And I'm sure judgment is what will make everybody tremble when he hears the word of God, that there will be judgment. The Bible keeps talking from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is always there. Hebrews said, it is appointed unto man to die once. After death, there's judgment. The last time we met, we talked about what Christ said about judgment. All over the Bible is about sin and then judgment. So when you hear of judgment, you must tremble. If you don't tremble, then you don't see yourself as a sinner. I can't imagine when you are told that there's fire coming and you will sit down for the fire to come. You run away. And that's what it is. When you hear of the gospel and the warnings, you run away to safety, because whatever the Bible has said is true. Many people fear the consequences of sin. Some even those who believe and still love the practice of sin. It is tragic. We are in some kind of bondage. Even for those who have realized that they are sinners, they still love their sin. I remember one time I was talking to a friend in England where we were working together. I kept preaching to her almost every day. And one day he said, "Oh, guess what exactly do you want me to do?" I said, "Give your life to Jesus Christ. Become a Christian." He said to me, "If I become a Christian, I'll be miserable." Is that true? But that's what the devil has put in the minds of people, that to become a Christian is a life of misery. No, that is where true happiness is. Happiness is not pleasure. is not what people are thinking of. Happiness is to know that you and your Creator are one. If you live, you live for Him. If you die, you go to Him. This is what we call happiness. And yet the world has turned it over, and people think that if you become a Christian, then it's a life of misery. No, you don't miss anything. All what is in this world, what is it? What they think is pleasure leads to sickness and death. Whereas life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like Pastor was saying the other day, He will be with you even in this world, provide for you, and then in the life to come, glory that will be shown unto you. So, in the affairs of the soul, like I said earlier on, delays are dangerous. They are dangerous because time will not be there. Or even now in these days, we are living in days of hunger for the word of God, the true word of God. We are living in hunger. People are not being told the truth. It takes God Himself to draw you to where the true gospel is being preached. So we are living in days of hunger. And the Bible has said it, that there will be times when even you want to hear the word and you won't be able to hear. So when we hear the word today, take steps. Don't delay. Delays are dangerous. There will be a time that we will hear the word again. Or like Solomon said, there will be bad days in your life. Bad days can take the form of so many forms, that you come to a situation where you can't understand the gospel, or it won't be even available unto you. So today, if you hear the word, take step. Don't harden your heart. No matter who you are, turn to Him, and then you will be saved. In verse 25, we are told that even though Felix trembled hearing the gospel, what did he say? He put off the matter to a more convenient season. You see? But we are not told of any convenient season that came in the whole of the book of Acts. So you see, he lost it. He lost the privilege that was offered to him. The grace period, he lost it because he postponed it. I remember when we were children, there was a teacher who was living in our house, and he had in front of his door, he said, procrastination is the thief of time. At that time, we were very little children, so we don't even understand what he was saying. To procrastinate, to put things forward, it's a thief of time. And this is exactly what is happening here. Felix heard the word, he was trembled. And instead of giving his life to Jesus Christ, he postponed it. That go. And some people can't even bear the gospel. They don't want to even go on. Just leave them to live their own lives. Friends, this is the accepted time. Now that you are alive, now that you are sane, now that you have all your senses working and you are hearing the gospel, this is the time. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 15 says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. Give your life to Jesus Christ before the bad days come. Felix, when he heard the gospel, he was in haste. He was rushing that Paul should just go. Go and then come back another time. Another time, like I said, which never came again. And that is how sinners, most of the time, that is how we are. Sometimes you hear the gospel and you are so pricked in your heart. You are so touched. But you live here and in a few minutes, it's gone. That is why even after our preaching, you know what we do? We tell that even now that you are sitting here, before you even get up, commit your life to Christ. Because the parable of the sower, what did he say? They heard the word, and because there was no grounds, as soon as they left, the devil came to take it away. So when we hear the word, take it serious and turn unto the Lord, because it will be difficult for you at a certain time to come to hear this same truth. Don't trifle with the word of God. The word of God is serious. The word of God, the gospel is serious. Don't joke with it. It's a serious business. Don't joke with it. Don't expect that there will be time in your heart, that a time will come that you yourself will decide that now, I'm tired with life in this world. Now I want to turn to God. No. Your heart will grow harder and harder and harder. The more you stay in sin, the more you keep on practicing sin, your heart is becoming harder and harder and harder. And it will be a time that you won't even like to hear the gospel again. So when you hear it, don't lose it. The moment you hear it, you take serious steps. And then you turn to God. We are going to learn about other people who heard the gospel, and because of this same procrastination, they lost it. And up to today, we are not told whether they were saved or not. So now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. because of the reasons I've given you, it could be too late by tomorrow if you don't turn to him today. I'm sure many of you have had that experience before, like I said, that you are shaken up by the word of God. And then, within a short time, the trembling is gone. And then you go back to your own life again. And it is very, very, very dangerous. Many, many people too, when they are shaken up, they try to suppress their conscience. They try to suppress their conscience. Very, very dangerous. You can imagine driving your car and then seeing a sign that there's a problem with the engine. I don't think anybody will continue to drive on. You obviously check what is the problem and then deal with it. Because if you want to still continue driving, you are driving into danger. And that is how life is. When you are told of your sinful nature and the need to turn to God for repentance, you must take it serious and then take steps to have this remedy for you. Apostle Paul himself went through this experience. His whole life was changed when he was also shaken up, when he was going to persecute the Christians and Christ caught him in the way. That was when Apostle Paul also changed. He was shaken up, he was trembled by what Christ was telling him. See, because the work did a mighty work in him. And then when he trembled, he asked two questions, which is the question we must also ask when we are trembled by the word of God. What did he say? He said, first, who art thou, Lord? When he heard the voice, he said, who art thou, Lord? And then what was the answer? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You see, he trembled when he heard the voice. So he asked, who are you, Lord? And Christ said, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Let's see what happened again. In a way, Christ was telling Paul that, if you want to know who I am the defender and the protector of the people of the way. The way in those times refers to the Christian way. I am the defender and protector of the way. The way the people we are going to persecute, I am their protector. And then Paul asked another question, another miracle question. Then he said, what would thou have me to do, Lord? See, he was trembled. And then he asked, who is that? When he was told that it was Christ, then he asked again, what do you want me to do? That's the way to respond to the gospel. Like the Philippian jailer, he asked, how can I be saved? And he was shown the way. So when you hear the gospel, the next question is, how can I be saved? That is why I have a problem with people who preach the gospel, and all they will say is, give your life to Christ. How do we give our life to Christ? Why should I give my life to Christ? These are the questions that must come before people will understand. But people, you hear people preaching the gospel, and they don't even show the way of salvation. They don't even show them why they need to be saved. Here, Apostle Paul will come to it. He told them exactly their situation and then what they should do. And here, when he also had the conversation with Christ, he asked Christ, what would you want me to do? And through this terrifying experience, Paul was changed from being an enemy of Christ to his obedient servant. Remember when Paul came to join the apostles and they said, no, they can't let him join. What did God say? He said, he's my chosen vessel. So all along that Paul was persecuting the Christians, he was a chosen vessel of God. But God knew what would happen for Paul to turn unto him. He had to tremble. He had to be shaken. And that is what we are. Our hearts are so hard that the gospel must shake us. That is why I'm emphasizing on the danger of delaying in taking your religious decisions. Paul was shaken up and he was saved. When you are shaken up, are you saved? Do you take it serious? If it's not, pray to God. But whenever you hear the gospel, your heart must be shaken. You must tremble. And then, as Paul, you also will be saved. And like I said, the same thing in Acts 16 about the Philippian jailer. Look at what happened. They were in prison. The prison doors were open. The man feared that they were going to kill him. And then he trembled and then asked Peter, what must I do to be saved? So you see, these are the kind of questions that we must ask when we hear the gospel. He was shaking. He was about to kill himself. But how, as he was trembling, Paul and Silas, they told him what he needs to do, which he did. So it's the Holy Spirit that worked in us. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, points you to Christ, and then you also turn to Christ for our salvation. So when they ask for, what did Paul tell them? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's what I mean by showing people the way of salvation. If you tell them that they must accept Christ, tell them what they must believe, and explain what it means to believe. Not believing that, yes, Jesus Christ came and died and went back to heaven. Even the devil believes that. He knows it happened. Do you believe? Have you given your whole heart to Christ? And it's your only hope and your only trust. This is what we must do. Sorry, I've gone myself so much. I haven't even spoken in tree. The year can say, and then you can ask them, no, you're fair free, a smart for, and woman, you're also a donu nine. And she mu a donu nine could see a donu and so on. Now, some are yet now, so I can say, Sir Uti or Yanko Ponsemon, I say, what you train so are, is as will be or so are, and you're crying if you're in danger, because I did be a danger idea, ever home. I didn't hear if it's a team war. Bible, I mean, a tear, see, I say, a nipper, if you say you be, now, who are no, a team war. It's baby a woo, a woo corner, and none here. It's now tear, see, no, Yanko Pono, one more coin, say, Bible, no, ho. I never saw Honor my church, Mosheo, a coin I befa so, winning a couple of them a bear back. Now, so what tea? Master wants to work 1 2 1 a month. Now, the ne or china, a ne or china, and never say a bedroom, maybe no. Now, a bear too late. A bear late because a bedroom may be a 7 o'clock won't tibio. Now, because a ne crano, a 7 o'clock passing, won't you know, baby? Oh, sorry, baby, bra, almost cast my hood, woman can't a 7:14 say. I just saw Yanko Panacasa, and a bedroom a bend, baby. Ye kasa assembly say. Now so what he has here. And I ye kase a nipa bebre at ya semi emma omu yam shiomo and so oma fan ye juma. I'm almost enya and kwaji. Now ubu o ti ya or di ye juma and ye di Paul a ye and fatum. Se bra nanka o ko chichi a kisofono nanka wako buomono and a yesu yi ni huodi a cheno. We ni huodi share and ubisa whiny and yesu kasa a ye me. Me now, what that time, you know. And I, Paul, be saying, say, into the sea, many a day. And now, or catch here, say, on finding who am I. And this is what we are saying. You are a sinner, judgment, the wrath of God is upon you. And what must you do? Give your life to Jesus Christ by believing in Him, confessing your sins to Him, and committing your life to Him, and trusting Him alone, not any good in you. You, in you, in Him alone, for salvation, for sanctification. So when this the Philippian jailer asked for when he was shaken, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then instantly the jailer believed and then was saved. So like Paul shaking, this was also a good shaking. He was shaking and then he turned to God. Are you ready to turn to God when the word shakes you? That the word shake you. The word must shake you because it's a dangerous situation that we are in now. Times are rough now. But there will be a time that you can't even hear the gospel again. So I'm sure you have experienced something before. So when you keep on experiencing and you keep on postponing, a time will come when it will become too late. Now, like I said earlier on, Paul going to the prison was for a purpose. Because we know that God has control over every situation. God could have prevented him from going there, and yet he was there. So, why was he there? When Paul was shaken and he believed, and like I said, when God said he's my chosen vessel, he was going to be sent. He said he was appointed for a task of bearing witness to God in the power of the Holy Spirit to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to kings and to governors. You see, when Paul spoke in Acts 26, beginning with the verse 15, he said, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. The purpose is to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things of which I will appear unto thee. And he went on to say that delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So the purpose of Paul being there, seeing Jesus Christ, is to go and proclaim the gospel to people, to kings, and to all Jews and Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Like I said, if you have faith in Christ, your sins will be forgiven you, you will be justified, and you will also be sanctified. So this was what Paul was in the prison for. That was his purpose, to tell us. And exactly that is our purpose too. That is why we say we are in the gospel age. We have been called to preach the gospel to people, for them to repent and have Christ in their hearts. We are not here to give vain promises. Pastors and preachers are to preach the gospel. And that is what Paul was doing here. And that is his purpose. God called him to come and do this so that people will be saved. The people of the world, all unbelievers, are blind. If you are not a believer, you are blind. You live in a world of darkness until your eyes are open. And if you are in that state, you will be wrong in all your understanding. That is why Paul was commissioned, so that he would open the eyes of the people by preaching the gospel message. And like I said, the gospel is the warning and the hope which Paul gave to this Philip. So the purpose of Paul was to turn people from the power of Satan to God. Why? Because all unbelievers are under the authority and power of Satan. See, when you have not come to be saved, you are in the pocket of Satan, so he can leave you to do, he will give you no problem at all until you are saved. Then you will see him fighting back to take you back. So when you are in his pocket, everything will go on fine for you, and you will think, I'm okay. But come to Christ, then the battle begins. Then he starts with you, with persecutions and afflictions here and there. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to go through all these things. So what was the final purpose of Paul's witness? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That they may have the inheritance of God. Like I said, throughout this world, you'll be taken care of, and then in the life to come, he will be with you and you'll see his glory. And that's the purpose of the message of Paul, and the message of ours too. The gospel is to let people's eyes be opened and save them from darkness into light. Like I said, Paul is not like our modern preachers. They would do anything to appear before our politicians, those in authority, but they would never point their force to them. I remember on the first January or so, when churches were sending their New Year messages, and so, there was a particular church that, I don't know what I've told you, the message that came from the church on that day was a message from a politician, not even from the pastor, but from the politician who went to church and was given the pulpit to come and speak. And that was their message that was announced on television. Friends, we live in dangerous times, that we must pray that the gospel works deeper in our hearts. Paul knew that he must proclaim the truth about the universality of sin. There's nothing wrong telling people about their sin. Everybody, including all of us here, are sinful. It is not our fault. We were born in sin. By nature, we are sinful. So telling you about your nature, I don't see why people cannot tell others. You are sinful. Until you are cleansed from your sins, you are sinful. And God is holy. He's holy, holy, holy. Holiness cannot bear with sin. So you tell people about their sin and then show them the way to come out of their sin. This is exactly what Paul was telling them. He was telling them about the universality of sin, and then he condemned Felix and his wife of their attitude. You see, he knew that he had to proclaim the good news also to them through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So after telling them of their fault, their lifestyle, and the danger ahead of them, then he told them that there's hope for them. He knew they were terrible sinners. He knew they were under the wrath of God, and they were heading for eternal judgment. So he told them all these things, and then we are told that he trembled. He trembled. And that is what must also happen to you. The gospel, it tells you about your disease, the prescription, and then the medicine for you. The gospel alone has the power to change people's hearts. If you are preaching immorality and whatever, Why are people immoral? Because of their nature. So not until they are changed from that nature, they can also stop sinning. They don't have the power to stop sinning. They must be changed. They must be regenerated. And then they can lead the lives that you are showing them. So Paul preached the gospel to Felix. He told them that there's something wrong with them. They must come out of that terrible situation that they are. So first, he preached about righteousness. Righteousness. The first point Paul spoke about, right, he said, you need to be righteous before you can come to God. You can never come to God in the state that you are now. You need to be righteous. And that is what we also know. We need to be righteous. And like I said, if you tell people about this, people get offended. But they shouldn't. That is the truth. Because when you come to the scriptures, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The same chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, he said, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. No one sees God. By nature, nobody understands. Nobody sees God. And then, verse 12, he says, there's no one who does good. Not even one. Nobody does good. Verse 18, he said, there's no fear of God before their eyes. People, we don't fear God until we are regenerated. We don't fear God. We take God for granted. And then in verse 18, he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. See, he shows you your state and where you are heading to. You are heading toward the wrath of God. And then he points you to Christ. Christ knew no sin. Christ never sinned. Yet he died that we shall be saved from our sins. He also talked about self-control. That was his second point. He told them that they are not capable of controlling their lust and their passion. But that's why I say people can never control unless they are born again. Especially people's sexual passions. We hear of, like I said earlier on, people, even so-called ministers of God involved in all these things. They have to be, they need new hearts to be able to stand against those temptations, against the lust and the passion. So he spoke to them about self-control, how they need to be self-controlled. Then, after all these things, he also talked about the judgment to come. Simply, if you are in this state, you are heading towards the judgment of God. So Paul, the third point was about the judgment of God. I'm sure he said something like this. Let me tell you something else. Through him, you also be declared just. He's talking about Christ. That even though you are a man and a woman of this nature, through Christ, you will be declared just. Like I said, you will have justification and then sanctification at the time of judgment. Because justification, like I always say, is an instant thing. It happens once. It's an event. But then, once you are saved and the gospel, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, then gradually you are taken through your sanctification. So I'm sure this is what Apostle Paul told them, that even though you are powerful people, when it comes to God, you have no stand. Unless Christ comes to stand between you and God. So that when you appear before God, God sees you as Christ. And not as you yourself. Then let's look at the reaction of Felix. As Paul was speaking and he was trembling, he said, stop it. I'm frightened. Turn it off. You go and I'll call you another time. Is that how you are? When you hear the gospel and you are trembling, is that what you do? Do you put it under the table and then leave it for a while? Or you come facing it, coming to Christ, and begging him to forgive you and then give you a new heart. Is that how you are? If that's not how you are, friends, it is time. Because like I said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, he said, when you hear the word, don't turn it off. Take steps, because time may not be there again. This is the time that you are hearing the gospel. This is the time that you have the opportunity to turn to Christ for him to save you. But Apostle King Felix, the governor, didn't do this. He told Apostle Paul to go. And like I said earlier on, we have nowhere where the gospel says he was saved. As at that time, he was thinking about his material things, his power, as compared to the Christ that Paul was talking about. But the Bible is clear. It says, seek first the kingdom of God before all these things. But the man said, no, I am busy. I will listen to you later on. I'm busy with my business. I'm busy with my being governor. I have things to do, not things with Christ. Friends, if you have that in your mind, it's a very sad state. The number one thing in your heart is your heart to be changed. As I've said earlier on, you were created to glorify God. And not until you are born again, you can't glorify God. And therefore, your life becomes a disaster. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Even if you are seeking for wealth or whatever, it's nothing wrong to seek for a good job, a good position. But seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first, and the rest will now follow. So Paul was actually telling this King Felix the truth about life. And that's why we are also telling you this morning, the truth about life is that we are all born sinners. We need to be born again. We were born in Satan. We need to be born in Christ. And then we can have a relationship with God. There is hope. Once we are not dead, when you die, it is finished. Don't believe in the purgatory and all those doctrines. When you die, nobody can do anything for you again. You might be saved whilst you are alive. Once you are hearing the gospel today, you might be saved. And then, when the bad days comes, you know where you will be going. Like I said, in the New Testament, this same woman, Drusilla's father, Herod, he had the same opportunity to be saved when John the Baptist presented the gospel to him. But what did he do? He killed him. Instead of accepting the gospel, he rather killed him. We also know about Pilate. He had the same opportunity when Christ himself stood before him saying, I have come to bear witness to the truth. This is what Christ told Pilate. What did Pilate say? He said, what is truth? And even now, in our days, we hear people defending that truth depends on how you understand it. Meanwhile, we know the truth is only one. The truth is that you are a sinner and you need to repent. This is what Christ was telling Pilate, and Pilate turned him away. We also have Judas. Judas, he was associated with Christ for more than 3 years. So he heard the gospel. He was among the apostles, those who were walking with Christ. But even though he heard it, he turned it off. And we are not told whether he was saved anywhere. So we assume that he was never saved because he turned it off. In the same Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, when the Magi came to Herod, the great king, he said, where is the king of the Jews? When he asked that question, we are told that Herod, with all Jerusalem, became distressed. So what happened? Even though they were distressed, they were shaken up, they never turned to God for salvation. We have similar thing in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 7, later on we can read, King Ahaz, he had the same thing when God told Isaiah to tell him to believe in him and he will help him. He did not believe. So these are examples in the Bible for us. So what about you? What are you doing? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you come to believe your sinful state and the need for repentance and believing in Jesus Christ and being saved? Is your hope only in Jesus Christ or in yourself? Friends, my prayer is that God will have mercy upon us, touch our hearts, and draw us closer to himself.